I feel like we've had a little taste of heaven here, haven't we? We've heard a little bit of the angels joining with us and singing, and oh, it's just so good to, my spirit has just been so blessed, so thank you to all of you who have helped to lead us in worship this morning. And I feel like it was just the other day when I was a young person, probably starting school, like many of you have started school this week, right? Excuse me. And so I feel like I am back once again, and it's just a blessing to be in a church with so many gifts and talents, and wow. And so this morning, I want to send our warmest greetings from all the way across the world. As some of you know, this past year, I've been serving in the country of Cambodia, and I have here in my hands some beautiful little cards that my fifth graders made. And they want to say a big thank you for your prayers and your support. And so right here, this is from Sreliak. She says, God bless you. Thank you for helping our school. Thank you for your prayers. And here is Vandat. She drew a little picture of a tree. And she says, here's the forest, here's the mountains, and the waterfalls from Cambodia. And she says, thank you for helping our school. Come and visit sometime. So I hope that you can feel the warmth and the love all the way across the ocean. And so it's just very special to get to come back and to get to share a little bit with you of some of the adventures and how God has been leading. Thank you so much for your support and your prayers. As some of you know, I had my passport stolen just before I was supposed to return. And I guess that was Southeast Asia's way of letting me know that I belong there a little bit and they want me to come back, right? So we'll see what God has in store. And so I just want to be able to show you today a few pictures and a few stories, and I hope that it will touch your heart to hear how God has been moving and working all over the world, and also to hear about some of the challenges that we face today in world mission. So it's just a blessing to be able to share with you from our time together. So I'd like us to first pray together as we start. Lord God, it's amazing to think that you are the God who has a special place in your heart for the billions of people all over the world. Lord God, there are people in the farthest corners of the globe that we have never met, and yet, God, you love them, you care for them, and Lord, you want them to know about you. And God, how amazing it is that you have chosen us, these feeble vessels of dust, Lord, to be messengers for you, to share the good news of Jesus Christ with the world. Lord God, we cannot do that without your Holy Spirit. But Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to be your hands and to be your feet. And Lord, I thank you for each person here. God, it's just amazing to be able to worship together in your house this morning. And Lord, we ask for your special blessing to be upon us. We ask for your Holy Spirit, O God. We plead that you would stir our hearts into a deeper relationship with you and into a deeper relationship with one another. Help us to apply something from your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to start by inviting you to take a little trip with me to Cambodia. How many of you have heard of the country of Cambodia? Okay, probably most of us, right? Any little geographers out there, where is Cambodia? Southeast Asia, right? Let's see, we're going to take a little look here. So we can see Southeast Asia here, and we're way over on the other side, of course. And here was my home for the last year. And if we zoom in a little bit closer, there's Cambodia. And the capital city here, Phnom Penh. And if you take about a 5-6 hour drive up here to the mountains of Mondulkiri, that's where I've been privileged to be able to serve with AFM for the last year. And really a beautiful area, a little bit cooler than the rest of Southeast Asia in the mountains. We get a nice breeze coming through. And here's a typical picture of what Mondulkiri, Cambodia looks like. This was Sen Manorum, our little village, surrounded by the surrounding mountains, and out here in the villages is the Penang people group, mostly animist, but most of Cambodia is largely Buddhist. So that's the population group. And I'd like to give you a little taste. We're going to have some fun. I'm going to give you a little taste of daily life in Cambodia. So I want you to imagine with me, can you put on your little caps, and we're going to travel to Cambodia, a typical Sabbath morning in Cambodia. If it was Sabbath Saturday morning, you'd probably wake up early, but not to your alarm clock, but it would probably be to the sound of the roosters and the chickens and maybe the famous tukai, which is a large lizard in the corner of your house. Tukai, tukai. And you might hear the children, the neighbor kids playing right outside your home. And your home is probably a simple wooden structure with large cracks in it. So the sounds and the insects are your normal friends in the morning. They're there to greet you. And after spending a few quiet, precious moments with God, you crawl out from your mosquito net and you make your way to the bathroom to get ready and to wash up for the morning. And so to do that, you have to fill your 5-gallon bucket with cold water, mind you. And if you don't have a shower head, which sometimes you don't, or sometimes it's not working, then you're going to take a nice bucket bath. So that would be your morning routine. But as you go to do that, you realize something. You realize, the water pressure is getting very low. So that means then that we're going to have to fill our water tank again. So you're going to have to walk around outside your house to the back and go see the well. And probably you're going to say hi to your neighbors along the way because you also share the well with them. So you check the well and you make sure, is there enough water in there? Because sometimes during the dry season, there isn't enough water. So you check and thankfully, it's the rainy season, so the well is full. So you're thankful, there's enough water, so we can now pump the water and we can get it into the tank, which rests there above the house. And so you connect the right cords and you check to make sure the pump is working and you say a little prayer that everything will work well so that you can have water to continue your morning routine. And you flip the switch and thankfully after a few seconds, you're very relieved to hear the water flowing into the tank. And so you can continue to get ready and get dressed. And after about 15 minutes, you have to listen. You have to say, the water is now overflowing from the tank, so we turn it off because we don't want to drain the well dry. And so that's part of your, sometimes you don't know when the water is going to run out. And that's part of your morning routine. And so you continue to get dressed. And for breakfast, we don't have a refrigerator, so you're probably going to have to reheat something that you made the night before for Sabbath. Maybe you'll fry a little egg, put rice in your rice cooker. Always rice with every meal. And maybe if you're fortunate, some good mangoes are in season or some jackfruit, some tropical fruit, so you can cut that and have that with your breakfast. And so you finish preparing and getting ready, and at about 8:30, you're ready to get ready to go to church. And so how are we going to get to church? Well, you're going to climb on your trusty moto. That's your primary transportation in Southeast Asia. And I tell you, when I first got there, I was petrified because I thought I would never get on one of these things. Never, never, never. But you know what? What seems impossible, with God, all things are possible. And so I came to actually enjoy riding this little thing. And you get around, and that's your primary way of getting around town. And then rain or shine, that's how we get to church. And sometimes for church, you meet together with fellow members at a church plant. We have a church plant that was started up in the small village. And we would sit around, and in the dry season, we could sit outside under the tree and enjoy the fresh air. But our Khmer is maybe not the best, our Cambodian, and so sometimes it's hard to follow along, but we're thankful for other missionaries who've been there a long time who can help lead out in worship, and we do our best to listen and to follow along. And sometimes we teach the children, whether it's the missionary children or the native children. And so sometimes we meet under a little hut or even in a treehouse or wherever we can meet. And sometimes we meet at the church in town, and you always have to be prepared because they will ask you very last minute, oh, can you do an English song? Oh, can you do a testimony? Oh, can you do special music? So you always have to be ready. And so I would like to have I'd like you to participate with me. When you go to church, I want you to imagine that you take off your shoes outside the door, as much in Asia, you take off your shoes. And then in Cambodia, you would be warmly greeted with the Sabbath greeting. They will put their hands together, and they will say, Rikriyetingai Borisot. And so we're going to try that together a little bit, just to participate and help you feel a little bit like you're in Cambodia this morning. So I want you to put your hands together like this in a traditional greeting. Very good, very good. And we're going to try the first word, rikriye. Can you try that? Good, good. Rikriyetingai. Rikriyetingai Borisot. Good, good. Now, excellent. Try it with somebody next to you. You guys sound great. So try it. Try it with somebody next to you. Beautiful. Good. Rikriyetingai Borisot. Okay. Wow, you guys are halfway to Asia already. That's great. Wow, I'm going to tell my friends they'll be proud to hear it. Now, this morning, by the way, I forgot to show you the little picture of our school where I've been teaching at. I wanted to show you our 100 plus students, which God blessed us with this past year. He really blew us away, exceeded our expectations for how many students would be able to come to our school. Most of these students come from Buddhist and animist backgrounds, and so for them to be able to come to our Adventist school is an amazing opportunity for them to take home what they learn at school to their families and to be a light to the community. And I just wanted you to be able to see a picture of our staff and our students there. I'd like for us to go to our scripture this morning, which reminds me of what we were singing today in 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 23 and 24. 1 Chronicles 16, 23 and 24. You're welcome to go there in your Bibles, but I would also like to read out loud together. There's something powerful about reading God's word aloud as a congregation. And we just sang this morning, we were singing, "How great is our God," right? And all will say, "How great is our God." And one of the things that I would love to do with my students is we would sing a lot. Every morning we would sing and we would teach them songs about Jesus. And there's something powerful about music. We all love music, right? And it sticks in our minds and in our hearts. And it's what helps us to remember important messages from God's word. So let's look up here and let's read our scripture verse together. Ready? Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. What a joyous verse. This verse reminds us that we have an amazing God that we serve, and we have an opportunity to share about his amazing character, his goodness, and we get to share it with not just some people, but it says all peoples, right? What an opportunity that we have. That's an amazing, amazing privilege. You know, even right here in the Old Testament, there's a call for Israel to participate, to be ambassadors for God all over the world. Many times we use the Matthew 28, 19 and 20, which is a great verse. I love that one where it says, "Go and make disciples of all nations." But that theme is really all through Scripture. It's not just in the New Testament, but all through the Scripture we're told to be a light to the nations, a light to the Gentiles. And even last Sabbath, Pastor Bob reminded us from God's word that we are the church, right? The church is not just a building, it's not just a place, but it's really the people. And so we have this amazing opportunity to participate in the global body of Christ and in this precious fellowship that we have with believers all over the world. In Revelation 14:6, if you would like to look with me there, Revelation 14 and verse 6. we read something very special about what God's kingdom is going to look like. Revelation 14 and verse 6. It says, "Then I saw another angel flying in midair, and he had the eternal gospel to proclaim to those who live on the earth, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. He said in a loud voice, 'Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the springs of water.'" Does it say to some nations, to some tribes, to some languages? No, it says to each and every one. And so God has a special burden on his heart for those places in the world that have yet to hear about him. And we are called to proclaim it to those places. And so I'm excited to be able to share with you how God has been working in the world, and especially where I've seen it in Cambodia this past year. One of the biggest blessings that God has given is to give us a new school building. We had an old school, which was basically just an old house. And if you can imagine grades K through 5 just crammed into a big house, each one trying to take a corner of a room, it was kind of a difficult situation. We still managed, but we're thankful to now have a brand new school building. What a blessing it is. A very large auditorium. And yes, truly, we have been so blessed to be able to move into this new school and to have events in the community. Now we're opening up to have gym night so that the community can come and play basketball and just fellowship. And so that's also a way to connect with our friends in Cambodia who do not know Jesus yet. And so our new school building is really a blessing. And like I say again, this is really an opportunity for our students to become missionaries, because once our young students there know about Jesus, then they take Jesus back to their homes, to their families, and this is how we are hoping that the good news can spread through that corner of Cambodia. Here is a picture of me with some of my second graders, my dear second grade girls. All my students really enjoyed singing about Jesus, and these girls in particular were always very enthusiastic and participatory, and they are very precious. These were just some of my girls that I really bonded very closely with. We had the opportunity to have a week of prayer there. One of our career missionaries helped to lead out in a week of prayer where the students learned about Daniel and the prophecies in Daniel, but he made it very engaging so that the students were involved and participating. As you can see here, they were enjoying dressing up with biblical costumes, and they were singing songs and learning the stories. And so this was a very good experience for them. And out of that week of prayer, praise God, we can say that the fifth grade class decided that they want to learn more about Jesus, and so they started to take some Bible study classes from our missionary pastor. And also we had some baptisms there, and we were very blessed to have baptisms. I think about 8 people were baptized this last year from the surrounding area, and so it's just exciting to see how God is working in that area. I would like to ask you a question, something that has really, one of the lessons, I'm going to share with you some lessons that God has really taught me this year. And one question I'd like to ask you is a question that somebody asked last year before I went to Cambodia. In fact, it was one of our trainers. We had missionary training before we left. And he asked the question, he said, "What is the gospel and what does it really look like?" Because we talk about the gospel. We say the gospel is what? Good news of Jesus. But what does that really look like? Is it just an idea? Is it just some abstract theory? Is it just something that we know because we've grown up with it? What is the gospel? What does it look like? And something that I have been discovering and that God has been teaching me a lot is that the gospel is really about a restoration of relationships, both our relationship with God and our relationship with each other. And that's why the shape of the cross is so powerful, because it speaks of God restoring that vertical relationship with us, and then in response, he restores that relationship with each other. Now, we know that relationships are one of the most powerful things in life, right? They're what gives us strength to keep going. But also, relationships can be very painful. I know that some of you, I'm sure, are having struggles, difficulties with relationships in life. But the gospel is all about restoring that relationship with God and with mankind. And that is a value that I have been so learning to appreciate, and especially this year. One of the beautiful things about Cambodia is time for relationships with one another. You know, they highly value, I'm going to show you a picture here, they highly value getting together and eating together. You know, there's always time to fellowship with your neighbors, with your friends. And many times, you know, you will get together and you will sit on the floor because there's really more room on the floor than there is around a table. And so many times we would get together with our neighbors and cook something, even if it's just something small. But that's one of the beautiful values that I've been learning this year, is that relationships are one of the most important things, and it's worth it to take time to invest in relationships, invest in each other. And I hope that's something that here in the West, that maybe we can learn to value a little more, because we value productivity a lot, but sometimes we lose sight of the fact that people are first. And so that's something that God has been teaching me this year. Another thing I've discovered is that life with the Lord is one of the best adventures ever. And when we obey and when we follow, it's the safest place to be, is when we are in His will. And sometimes, since it is an adventure, we don't always know what's next. There's a lot of unknowns. There's going to be a lot of trials. There's going to be a lot of crucibles along the way. I can tell you, I got sick many times with different things. Sometimes it would be very scary. Sometimes you feel very lonely. But there was always this peace that Sarah, I have you where I need you now. And you know, as you make friends with the locals there and friends with other missionaries, you begin to have this sense of a deeper family that has come up alongside you, and that, you know, with people along with you, we're going to make it through together. Isn't that beautiful to know that we have friends in Christ together? We're going to make it through together. And so these days, I'm more careful now to never say never, because I've been learning that when I try to make plans, or usually it turns out very different from what I expected. When I went away to college, I never thought I would go to Asia. But where did God send me first? He sent me to Korea first, and I taught there for a while. And then after doing some missionary work and teaching there, God sent me on to seminary. I never thought I would have really that opportunity to do that. And God taught me some amazing lessons while I was there and had opportunities to draw closer to Him. And then after that, I signed up. I thought I was going to go to either Thailand or to Laos. And I had it all mapped out, all planned out, and God changed things last minute, and He sent me to Cambodia. And I thought, wow, Cambodia. Why Cambodia? And so, but now I can see, looking back, I can see, oh God, you really know just what you're doing. Sometimes we don't always understand, but God has us where He needs us, as long as we're trusting Him each step of the way. So I just want to encourage you that sometimes it won't always feel logical. We don't always understand, but that's okay. We don't have to understand everything. We just need to trust in God's voice, and many things are only by prayer. I think I've learned that also. That's one of been another powerful lesson from this year. So many things only by prayer. Problems that we cannot solve, things that seem too big for us, and that's when it encourages us to depend upon God and to say, God, I don't know what else to do. You're just going to have to step in and do something. And sure enough, that's when God comes in, and it's amazing how He opens up the way, and the light begins to shine in, and miracles happen. So I praise God for those lessons, and it's such an encouragement. And I tell you, the enemy is going to do everything he can to try to distract and to keep us from fulfilling our full potential for God. You know, electronics are a wonderful thing. Their technology can be such a blessing, but it can also be a tool for the enemy. And so it can go both ways. The enemy will use many different things to distract us. And I'm going to do a little analogy here. We're going to do something different. I'm going to demonstrate how sometimes that is very real. And I want us to imagine that our church congregation here, sitting here today, I want us to imagine that we represent San Joaquin County. Can you do that with me? We represent San Joaquin County. And I want us to imagine that there's a very terrible outbreak of some kind of disease that is very fatal, it's very contagious. And I want us to imagine that it's sweeping through San Joaquin County. And very likely, if you get this disease, it will be fatal for you and your family. But there is one hope, and it's something that I have here. Can you read that? What is that there? It's a vaccine, okay? I have some of these here. This is going to symbolize our vaccine. And so, thankfully, there is hope. So if we get the vaccine, we will be safe. So I want us to imagine then that when we get the vaccine, we are going to distribute it. And if there's any young people here, the children, I want you to notice what I'm doing, and I want you to see something. I'm going to ask you a question. So I'm going to distribute the vaccine, and those of you in the first row, you didn't know that I was going to ask you to participate here a little bit, right? So I'm going to distribute this, and we're trying to help the whole county, right? All of San Joaquin County. So let's see. We're trying to help everybody, is that right? Now, let's see, everybody got the vaccine, right? Did everybody get it? Oh, only, who got it? Who got the vaccine? Can you raise your hand? Who got the vaccine? Oh, only this little group here. What was wrong with what I did? What was wrong? I didn't share with everybody, right? And this is sometimes, unfortunately, what happens with when we have the good news, the vaccine of Jesus Christ. The deadly disease represents sin and Satan. He's doing all that he can. It says he's trying to devour all that he can and steal the sheep, and the enemy's working hard to do that. But when we have the good news of Jesus Christ, sometimes what happens is we end up sharing it only with a small portion of people, or with the same people, right? As I repeated it, with the same group of people. And unfortunately, what happens is sometimes our resources, our money, our efforts, I will show you a picture here of something that I recently learned, and it really convicted me that unfortunately what happens is sometimes out of all the missionaries that go to the world, out of all the gospel workers worldwide, there are very few that actually go to the very, very unreached parts of the world because of one reason or another. Sometimes it's difficult to reach these groups of people. Sometimes there are not enough resources. And when I learned this, my heart was so convicted because I thought, wow, there is a great work yet to be done. And so Jesus reminds us in Luke 10, he says, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. But Jesus says something interesting. He doesn't just say go. He says ask the Lord of the harvest, right? Pray. So our first thing to do is we have to pray. We have to say, God, you know the answer. You know how to reach the peoples of the world. So please, God, pray. Pray that God will send the right people to where he knows they need to go. And I would like to ask then, practically speaking, how are we to do this? It says in Matthew 24:14. I'd like us to take a look there. You're welcome to look there in your Bibles or look up here on the screen. Matthew 24, verse 14. Jesus says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. What does Jesus mean by nations? Have you read this verse before? Is it talking about countries like Brazil, the U.S., Canada, Africa, all the countries in Africa? If we look at that word in Greek, ethnos, the root is actually talking about ethnic group or tribe, people group, referring to those that are joined by a common culture, common language. And so when Jesus gives us this mandate and this instruction, he's reminding us that it's not just about every country, but it's all the little people groups inside that country. Yeah, so, and as you know, within every country, there are little differences, right? And Jesus wants to reach the heart of all of those smaller groups because each one has their own worldview. And it can be a great challenge, but we have to learn how to reach them in their worldview and how to be able to share the truth of Jesus Christ without without what we call syncretism, without blending, but trying to understand their culture so that we can reach them in their heart language. So how are we doing with that? Have we reached every ethnic group? Have we reached every population for Jesus Christ? Praise God, there is a lot of green. Here on the screen, I will show you the green parts are those that have a significant established church. Now, this research is done, I want to point out, this research is done by a group called the Joshua Project. They're an evangelical Christian group who they've done significant research to map all of the people groups of the world, and they research how much the gospel has been going forward and getting established. And as you can see here, we can praise God for the growth it is, but as you can see here, do we have some people that yet to hear about Jesus and to have an established church? Sometimes it can be a little bit overwhelming, but we know that Jesus says, I will build my church. And so God's work is going forward. But it really is very sobering to look at this and to contemplate that there is still a great need for missionaries. There's a great need for prayer. There's a great need for support for worldwide mission. I want to just stop here and just advocate that technology is such a great tool and God is using it powerfully. However, on the other side of the coin, there is still a great need for that face-to-face interaction. It's great to text your friends, but you still want that time with them, right? That relationship. And in order to disciple people, we need that interpersonal connection. And so people across the world, they are still in great need of being nurtured, of having a physical Christian presence there, somebody to nurture them, somebody to pray with them, and to push back the powers of evil and the darkness that Satan is trying to keep in these places. And there are missionaries in these places, praise God. Some working with Adventist Frontier Missions, others with frontline mission groups. This is another map, similar, just organized a little bit differently, again from the Joshua Project. What's really neat is I'm going to give you a little bit of homework for fun. I hope it's fun homework, ever the teacher. And I want you to go home, and if you can, look this up, and just take some time, have fun with it. Go and click on one of these little dots. Find a dot somewhere on the map. Pray that God maybe will set a burden on your heart for a certain people group. And go and find one of these, you see one of these small little dots. If we were to zoom in, each of these would be its own unique people group. And as you can see, even in California, we are blessed to have a diverse population. So we have groups of people here that have yet to really also hear about Jesus Christ in his fullness and in the truth we know of the word. And so this is a very helpful map for helping us to understand. And AFM has used some of this research to help in their mission strategy also. In Cambodia alone, where I was, as you can see here, the population here, people groups that are unreached, is considered 72% out of the whole country. And the percent that are considered Christian is very small. So anyway, some of this research just helps us to become aware of the reality of the challenge of missions. But it's not to discourage us, because God promises that he's faithful, and he will continue to establish his work all over the world. And I would like to just encourage us to consider the amazing opportunity that we have even right here. Because wherever you are a missionary. Sometimes whether you realize it or not. But even right here in our own San Joaquin County, we have public universities, colleges all around us. And those students, they are from, some of them are from around the world. They come from all corners of the globe. And what an amazing opportunity it would be. I was just wondering, I thought, wow, what if we befriended some of these students? What if we got to know them, spend time with them, introduce them to our best friend, our Savior Jesus Christ? And what if they took that message back to their people? What if they became the missionaries? And they, in some ways, they could do even a more effective work than we could do because they already know the language, the culture. And I just thought, you know, Lord, maybe that's an opportunity. That's just one idea. There are many, many ways that we can reach out right here in our community. Some of us will be called to go to foreign lands, and praise God for that. Praise God for missionaries. If God puts that on your heart, I encourage you today to prayerfully go and consider, especially if there are young people here. I would like to see, are there any young people, high school students, middle school students, elementary students? Raise your hand if you're here today. Where are my young friends? I'm happy. You know, it's already only a few weeks out of school for me, but I already miss my students, so I'm happy to see the kids. You know what? God has a special work for you to do, young people, because it starts in your life today. I remember when I was your age sitting here, and God started to put a small voice call in my heart to go and to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. It starts when you're small. But for those of you that maybe you're a little bit older and you're in a position where you think, I can't go, or maybe you think I don't have a lot to share, or maybe you're just not sure how to help in this situation. But I want to encourage you that God actually can use you in perhaps even a more powerful way because you can pray. And through the prayer support is probably one of the most powerful, important things, to pray for the unreached nations, to pray that the light of Jesus Christ will go, to go into these places and to prepare the way for missionaries, to ask the Lord for laborers. And I will tell you, thank you for those of you that can pray, because my grandma's prayers, my 89-year-old grandma, bless her, I have felt her prayers all the way across the ocean, and they have supported me and sustained me. Sometimes the Holy Spirit would speak in a still, small voice, your grandma's praying for you right now. And that's what will encourage me and get me through. And so all of us can pray, we can give, we can support, and some of us, we can go. Maybe some of us, all three, we can do. Jesus wants as many people as possible to be with him in heaven. God does not want anyone to be lost. And he's going to do everything he can to have as many of his beloved children with him. And unfortunately, there will be those who reject his offer. But still, he reaches out. Still, he's making that offer. Jesus wants to come back soon. He wants to take us home. He's eager to do that, even more eager than we are. Sometimes we forget that. And sometimes we say that we are waiting for Jesus to return. And that is partly true. But I just want to think about the fact that maybe he's also waiting for us. He's waiting for us to participate with him in one of the greatest things we could ever do, and that is to take up a little bit of the cross and to follow Jesus wherever that is. Maybe that's around Lodi. Maybe that's in your own family being a witness. Maybe that's to another country overseas. And I just want to encourage you with that we have an invitation. We are the church, and so we are the missionary. And sometimes I wonder, I say, God, you know, wouldn't it be better if the angels could do this work? They could do it much more efficiently than I could. But it's amazing, God, that you have allowed the opportunity for us to participate with you. We make mistakes, we're not perfect, but God says, I'm going to use you anyway. Because in that process, we become a little bit more like Jesus. And we have the opportunity to draw closer to him and closer to others. And then we come to know a little bit more of God's heart as we experience sometimes suffering because Jesus suffered for us. As we experience great joy because Jesus experienced great joy in redeeming his children. So as we participate in doing his work, we can draw closer to God. So I want to encourage you not to be afraid. Listen to the still, small voice as God speaks to your heart. To the young people here, to those that are a little older, to everybody in every walk of life, God has a special role for you to play in his kingdom work. And again, I want to say that we are in a great battle. And Ephesians 6 remind us that we need the full armor on. And if we are in a war, as we're told in the Bible, we are in a war for souls, we're in a war for God's kingdom, then we need every hand on deck, so to speak, right? Every member of the troop needs to be participating. And because without doing it together, without doing it with Jesus' help, it would be all in vain. And so God can use each of you, each of us, to be his hands and to be his feet and to help finish the good work that he wants us to do. So as we come to a close, I want to prayerfully consider, how is God inviting us to be part of this special work? I want to invite you this afternoon to simply take some time and to prayerfully ask God and say, God, what is your next step for me? And how can I be part of maybe this great privilege of finishing your work around the world? Take some time to pray over that and to consider that. And I want to ask us to make a commitment to say, yes, Lord, to whatever you want from me. I'll just trust you. I'll say yes. I'll represent you to the world starting right here in English Oaks, right here in Lodi, right here in San Joaquin County, right here in California, right here in the States, right here, wherever you send me around the world. I'll represent your name. And I'll participate in what at first may seem an impossible mission, but it's possible by your grace. So is that your desire this morning? Is it your desire to participate with God in finishing his good work around the world? Is it your desire? I believe right here there are gifts and talents right here in English Oaks which can send a ripple effect around the globe. And I believe that with the Holy Spirit that we can do that. We can send a ripple around the world. And so if that is your desire, and I invite you to stand with me, and we're going to sing one verse of a song. It's from hymn 573. And so, William, if it's okay, we will just do one verse. Hymn 573. It's right in the back of the pews there. If you'll turn to 573. Sing it together. Together. Lord God, what a privilege it is that you invite us to go and to say and to be, Lord, all for you. And Lord, as this song says, it might not be at the battle's front, it might not be far away, or Lord, it might be. God, we trust you however you call us, wherever you call us, whenever you call us, Lord. We want to say yes today. And Lord God, I pray your special anointing and blessing over my brothers and sisters here. Oh God, that they will be mighty missionaries for you. Oh God, I pray that out of this group you will raise up ambassadors who will go forward into the unreached places and using their gifts, using their talents, using the calling that you place on their hearts, that they can be part of this great work of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Because, Lord, we want to go home soon. This is not our eternal home. And so, God, we just want to say yes today to doing your work. We say yes, God, to your love. We say yes, God, to your goodness. We say yes to participating with you in going out into the harvest field and gathering people to come home into your heavenly kingdom. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for making all this possible. And in your name we pray. Amen.